You can give them your love, but not your thoughts. They have their own thoughts.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio. Sweet Honey in the Rock.
You can house their bodies,
not your own children, something like that. Sweet Honey's great. And we're going to dedicate the last portion of our show today to bring in Eco Logic. Ken Gale is here with us in the studio to talk about the 30th anniversary of Three Mile Island. And clearly these environmental health issues are widespread. It's not just pesticides in the home. It's Indian Point up in a little ways north of New York City. It's
24 miles north of New York.
That's right, 24 miles. And it's this history of nuclear pollution in our environment. So take it on. Take it over, Gale.
Hi, I'm Ken Gale. I'm one of the hosts for Ecologic here on WBAI. We're on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. And I want to thank the folks from the Rise Up Radio Collective for bringing me on. The 25th anniversary of Three Mile Island is this Sunday. And it's amazing how little information you hear about it anywhere. And what it did to the people in New York City, in Pennsylvania, where it happened, what it's still doing to them. And we have here Alice Slater from
Global Resource Action Center for the Environment, GRACE.
Well, what can you tell us about what happened to the people who live there?
Well, you know, despite government efforts to cover up what happened, there have been studies that show increased leukemia and cancer down there. It could have been at Chernobyl. I mean, we were lucky that it wasn't worse. But the reason to think about what happened 25 years ago is to turn around and look at what's happening now. Our government right now is planning another 50 nuclear reactors out of taxpayer dollars, heavily subsidized. Corporate welfare. I mean, we have a lot of work to do. And we're sitting on a powder keg with Indian Point 24 miles from New York City because if those planes that hit the World Trade Tower had gone into Indian Point, we wouldn't be sitting here in this radio station today.
One of those planes used the Hudson River to navigate to the World Trade Center, so they went right over Indian Point. They were looking down on it.
Right, and unfortunately, the nuclear industry is so powerful. I mean, they give so many millions of dollars away that our politicians will not take a stand. We have repeatedly spoken with Hillary Clinton, Chuck Schumer. We've written to Governor Pataki. We've met with members of the city council. None of them are willing to take a stand and call for the close down of Indian Point that's sitting right on the tail end of New York. And Pataki stalled. He said, well, let me get the former head of the Federal Emergency and Management Agency, James Witt, to do a study. James Witt did a study and said there is no safe way to evacuate the 20 million people that live within a 50-mile radius of Indian Point.
Which is not the result that Pataki expected when he put that guy in charge.
Right, and then he just ducked it again. And I mean, no kidding, how are we going to evacuate New York City? Remember what happened during the blackout? I mean, how are people going to get out in the half hour you have before the thing blows?
Well, one of the things, I've been working on this issue for about 25 years now, and I saw the evacuation plan back in the mid-'80s, and the rules state that you have to have an evacuation plan for nuclear power plants within 10 miles of the plant. But they do not say that you have to have a workable evacuation plan. And what the plan said, I saw the map, and somebody took what looked like a flare marker and drew a line with a ruler across this map, and that was the evacuation route.
Well,
I mean, there was houses there. There's, you know, and it's like doesn't matter because it's a plan. It's not workable. Who cares? And what happened with James Witt is somebody looked at the evacuation plan. Instead of this rubber stamp, they read it. They found out, hey, this doesn't work. And because of the fears engendered by 9/11 and the planes going over Indian Point, they said we have to do something. And so the counties around Indian Point, we're talking Republican politicians as well as Democrats, said, we don't like these plans.
Well, really, Ken, what difference is a party label? It's just common sense. You're sitting on top of a nuclear boiling point, and we're in a very vulnerable position. I mean, they've done security checks at the labs. The guards are asleep. They're not doing their work. They've had boats go up, right, up to the plant on the Hudson River. And this is New York City.
They canoed. This is a bunch of activists with a bunch of reporters canoed up to Indian Point. And they're like hanging out in the water waiting for something to happen, figuring, well, what if we were terrorists, right? We're talking just a few months after 9/11. And they're tootling around. Finally, a launch comes zipping out and says, you know, you have to leave here. What are you doing here? And they said, what would you have done if we were terrorists? And they very confidently said, we would have called in for directions. and they're like, you would have called in? So, well, are you armed? Like, well, no, we're not armed. You know, that's not what we're for. And so they're just, they don't have the imagination to think that somebody would attack Indian Point. I guess they figure they attacked the World Trade Center, they're never going to do another thing. And it's just amazing. The threat of what is inside of a nuclear plant, this doesn't exist with these folks. They want to recycle the radioactive waste from nuclear power plants into radioactive scrap metal. So anything made of metal is going to have radioactive waste in it.
Right. That's what they call low-level waste, but it's plenty hot. And the other waste, they want to ship by truck, by train, by barge, from every corner of the continent, throw it in a hole in the ground in Yucca Mountain. This nuclear waste lasts 250,000 years. I mean, all of recorded history is 5,000 years. What are we doing? And in Yucca Mountain, it's seated on top of earthquake faults, and already it's leaking. And there was a whistleblower that was on the commission to establish Yucca Mountain. He quit, and he said he couldn't be part of it. His name is, have it right here. Paul Craig, a physicist and engineering professor at the University of California, Davis, he quit because he felt that he had to speak out, that it's badly designed, it won't hold the waste. So to keep making more waste is just
unconscionable. Well, it's amazing who you know, the people who quit. The head of the Pennsylvania Department of Health, Dr. Gordon McLeod, he was head of that department when Three Mile Island happened. And he quit. He was he was forced to leave his post. He made charges that the statistics about the stillborns downwind of Three Mile Island were falsified. What they did was they took statistics of the three counties downwind of Three Mile Island, the number of stillborns in those three counties, added them up, and got a number that was lower than any of the numbers they started with.
That's terrible.
What they released to the public at the time was their bad math. And Gordon McLeod said, hey, that's not what the number is. And he was forced to leave. And then when a lot of activists kept saying, wait a minute, this is what the actual numbers are, they found themselves a stooge, Dr. George Takuhata was charged with withholding and revising the infant mortality statistics. They never reported the actual statistics. And the first year after Three Mile Island, the number of stillborns doubled. The year after that, the number tripled.
Well, we know.
The year after that, it was five times greater. And this is when the rest of these rates go down. Now, Nell was just talking about how they eliminated pesticides in Harlem and Washington Heights, and babies are healthier. And so we know that you eliminate poisons from the environment, and it's really good for babies whose immune system is developing. Once you get to be a certain age and you have your immune system, it's not – it can be damaged, but it's not developing, so that it develops in a damaged way.
Babies are
just so vulnerable.
I saw children in Kazakhstan near the Soviet test site in Semipalatinsk, born with three fingers, you know, like terrible birth deformities. I saw them in Ohio at the Piketon plant where they enrich uranium. They had a two-headed cow there. I mean, this stuff is really toxic. It's the longest-lasting substance. It is insane, and we are so vulnerable right now in terms of how 9/11.
They make more of this stuff every day, 24 miles north of New York City, and it's just upwind of the Croton Reservoir, which supplies drinking water for New York City, and the Kensico River Reservoir, which also supplies drinking water for New York City. So if there's ever a massive release due to something like Three Mile Island, there it goes right into our water supply.
And we're spreading these things all around the world, like China's going to build 30 new ones. We have plans of 50. There are 31 under construction around the world. And this is the same industries that are just living off the public wheel and making a buck. And every nuclear power plant is a bomb factory. I mean, that's where Iran and Iraq and North Korea are getting their nuclear weapons. So we're spreading it around, and then we're using it as an excuse to go and go to war to stop countries from getting nuclear weapons. And we're just really, the thing that's so sad about nuclear power is it doesn't just hurt the people that are living now. It's into the gene pool. It goes on for generations and generations.
Every single study anywhere in the world, whether it's done by a government, a university, an independent research firm, whether it is conservative, whether it is liberal, every single study about nuclear power plants being shut down or opened has shown that cancer rates go up when they open it and go down when they close it.
And there is a very nice coalition forming together. It's called the Be Safe Precautionary Campaign. And they're basing their actions on the precautionary principle because, you know, you have all these corporate-funded scientists that say, well, prove the connection, and they try to, you know, make you spend all this money. And you have dueling scientists, and those scientists aren't really they don't have integrity because they're being paid by the corporations. But the precautionary principle, which was adopted at the Earth Summit, says that we shouldn't have to prove that something's harmful, the consumer. The burden of proof should be on the corporation and the polluter to show that it's safe. So now we're trying to shift the burden. Like, we don't have to prove every cancer came from every nuclear power plant. Let them prove that it didn't. And so that's what this precautionary campaign is. And they're organizing Three Mile Island anniversary events all around the country this week.
But not New York City, it seems.
Well, here we are. And they have five things that they're calling for: to prohibit new nuclear power plants from being licensed, to require radioactive cleanups, to be protective of children's health and drinking water, and stop the exemptions of military and commercial sites. You know, the military gets a free ride. They don't have to clean up their waste.
Right. No environmental impact statements.
And
nothing.
Then stop this. They want to rename the nuclear waste safe so they can, as you were saying earlier, so they could put it in our toys, toasters, and other consumer use the metals and contaminate our landfills and drinking water. And also, of course, stop Yucca Mountain. That's insane. And the Skull Valley high-level waste dumps, they take advantage of an indigenous tribe to pay them off because nobody wants the nuclear waste in Skull Valley, Utah. And then...
They just keep looking and looking until they find somebody who will put the signature on a piece of paper.
Right. And we work with Margene Bull Creek from the tribe at Skull Valley, and they're fighting the tribal leaders that gave the contract to this waste company because they felt it wasn't good thinking for the tribe. So there's a whole battle going on there not to accept it.
Yeah, I've got a notice in the email about the Three Mile Island anniversary from Admiral Hyman Rickover's daughter-in-law. Hyman Rickover is called the father of the nuclear navy. And the statement is, in May 1983, my father-in-law, Admiral Hyman G. Rickover, told me that at the time of the Three Mile Island nuclear reactor accident, a full report was commissioned by President Jimmy Carter. He, father-in-law, said that the report, if published in its entirety, would have destroyed the civilian nuclear power industry because the accident at Three Mile Island was infinitely more dangerous than was ever made public. He told me that he had used his enormous personal influence with President Carter to persuade him to publish the report only in highly diluted form. The president himself had originally wished the full report to be made public. In November 1985, my father-in-law told me that he had come to deeply regret his action in persuading President Carter to suppress the most alarming aspects of this report. It was signed by Jane Rickover and sworn by a notary public in Ontario. Dr. Rosalie Bertel has replied to this. And Paul Blanche, who used to work with Northeast Utility, became a whistleblower because of some of the things that have been suppressed about the Millstone Creek nuclear reactor. Three Mile Island is more like the most famous nuclear accident in the United States, certainly not the only one, not by a long shot. What it did to the people of Pennsylvania, what it did to the people in New York, because the plume came right over New York City, one of the plumes, there were six of them. And... again, it's not told. And I think part of it is that the people who would do the telling are nervous about it. It's very uncomfortable to talk about what this does to people, especially if you feel you're powerless to prevent it. So they just won't talk about it. Then there's things like you have board members of the New York Times and board members of Con Edison, which was a nuclear utility, same people. So, again, it's not going to be in their interest to talk about something like this.
We just discovered in Greg Palast's book, I work with Code Pink, and we've been picketing down at City Hall and picketing Hillary Clinton, that her law firm—
Now, how often do you do that?
We've done about four actions since the year started, since the fall.
You have one planned?
Our next one is going to be around the non-proliferation treaty that's meeting at the United Nations. We're going to have a rally on May 1st. And that's the treaty that says we have to give up our nuclear weapons if everybody else won't get them. And then, as part of the deal we made, we gave everybody nuclear powers. So that's how it's getting spread around the world, like President Eisenhower did.
Is there a website for people to clue in, or a phone number so they can get a hold of you guys?
Oh, yeah. We're at www.gracelinks.org. And there's also Kate. www.gracelinks.org. And then there's Code Pink for Peace.
How do you get a hold of
them? The number four, www.codepinkforpeace. But the interesting thing is that Eisenhower, started this whole thing, Atoms of Peace. It's such a, and that's how the nuclear power got spread around.
Right, he specifically said to mislead people. Website for Ecologic is www.comicbookradioshow.com/eco-logic and find out what's coming up on that show.
Well, thanks so much, Ken, for bringing us this interesting conversation on Rise Up today.
Thank you.
It's just two things happen, not necessarily sound.
I mean, just sound.
I don't think so.
To see what's right in front of them.
You've been listening to Rise Up Radio. I've been your host, Nell Geiser. I'm going to give you a couple really quick announcements. An evening with Harriet Tubman tonight for Women's History Month with DC 1707. It's at 75 Varick Street, Suite 1404. There will be the Labor Chorus, performance of Harriet Tubman herself, and lots of food from 6:30 to 8:30. So the small charge, you can call 212-219-0022, extension 5140 for more information. Tonight, a forum on Harlem and gentrification. Debunking the myth of gentrification, black professionals say they can't afford Harlem. That is tonight from 5:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Mary's Church, 521 West 126th Street between Amsterdam and Old Broadway. You can call 212-316-2240 for more information about that one. And finally, this Sunday, March 28th, at Freedom Hall in Harlem on 113th Street, 113th West 128th Street between Malcolm X and Lenox, there's going to be a forum on crack. People are paying to stop the growth of our communities. Women are being sterilized and paid $200 for it. Critical Resistance is asking, is this yet another attack on black, brown, and other poor people? That's this Sunday, 3 to 5, Freedom Hall. You have been listening to Rise Up Radio, which, as always, is a production of the Free Radio Youth Collective. I'm Nell Geiser. We'd like to thank our guests today, Bree of NICOR and Dr. Robin Wyatt of the Columbia Center for Children's Environmental Health. If you want to listen to archived versions of our show or check out our double CD compilation, Artists Fight the System, hit us up at our new web location, riseupradio.org. That's www.riseupradio.org. If you'd like to call with comments, it's 212-209-2948, 209-2948. And we're going out with Monument to Masses. Thanks for tuning in.
You're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.